Turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Psalms, Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to begin our reading at verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 4. We're going to read through the 12th verse. Ecclesiastes 4, beginning with verse 7 and reading through the 12th verse. Let's give our careful attention to the reading and hearing of God's Word. Hear now the Word of God, Ecclesiastes 4, 7. Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil. His eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, "For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?" This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you not only for creating us, but for making us the way that you have made us with the needs that we do have. Lord, we thank you for the significant need that has surfaced here, an area where we struggle, though, in our lives. We pray, God, that as we read your Word, as we hear it together, as we interact with your Word, that your Word and your Spirit would work together to change the way we structure and live our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When some of us were young ones, you remember growing up watching what we used to call Westerns. You know, TV Westerns used to include shows like Bonanza, Rawhide, Have Gun, Will Travel, The Wild Wild West, and Roy Rogers. And there was another Western known as The Lone Ranger, a masked man riding a horse named Silver. He was the Lone Ranger, but not really. As you remember, the Lone Ranger was never really alone. Standing by the Lone Ranger's side was this Native American, a faithful sidekick by the name of Tonto. The Lone Ranger had a job to do. He did not go it alone. The Lone Ranger always had Tonto there to help him. Now, in verse 7 and 8 here in Ecclesiastes, Koheleth is describing a man, and notice it says he has neither son nor brother to be a companion with him. Now, we're not told why. We don't have the backstory. We're not told if this man just has social anxiety and feels uncomfortable around other people, or perhaps past hurts have led this man to distancing himself from other people. Whatever the reason may be, this man is trying to be a Lone Ranger minus Tonto. This man has no plus one. And Koheleth says right there in verse 8 that this man lives a meaningless, transient, unhappy, empty existence. Now, actually, what Ecclesiastes is doing here in chapter 4 is picking up on a theme that runs all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. So keep your place there, and please turn with me back in your Bibles to the second chapter of Genesis. Genesis 2, keep your place in Ecclesiastes. We're going to get back there. But I want you to notice here in chapter 2. Now, as you're turning, remember that in Genesis 1, on six different occasions, God looks out, he sees his creation, he saw it, says, "This is good, this is good, this is good, and this is good." But there's one time where God says, wait, this isn't good. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God then said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, notice that. Not good. How emphatic is that? In the Hebrew, where the prime real estate is at the first of the sentence, it reads like this. Not good that the man should be alone. Friends, like Adam, we are created in God's image. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 26, when God created man in his image, notice what he says in verse 26, chapter 1. Let us make man in our image. Friends, we have an insight here on the nature of God. You know, the God that we worship and serve this morning never existed in isolation. The God of the Bible is one God in three persons. Now, even if I could, I couldn't explain the Trinity, but by faith, this is what we affirm. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always existed as a community full of perfect love and communication and fellowship. In other words, at the very core of our prime reality, at the very core of who God is, please hear this, our God is a relational God. And since He has created us in His image, God has created us to be relational people. So it says here in verse 18, not good for this person DNA'd by God for companionship to be a lone ranger with no sidekick. In fact, this statement of the Lord becomes even more emphatic once you consider the backdrop of paradise. Think about this for a moment. Adam is living in the perfect environment. In paradise, his circumstances are ideal. There is no pollution, no traffic jams, no diseases, great job, no competition in the workplace because no one else is in the workplace. Perfect environment. Notice also, Adam possesses everything. Now, Adam was not born. He's created by a direct act of God. But if Adam was born, we would say that Adam was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. No problems with daily provisions. No money problems. No IRS. No worries about retirement. Everything. God says, I give you all this. Everything is yours. Have one little rule here you need to follow, but in the meantime, just, you know, don't focus on that. Everything I have is yours here on this earth. So he possesses everything. He's in this perfect environment. Adam holds an exalted position. You realize here when God creates Adam in his image, he's deputizing Adam to have dominion over every created thing. Adam, top dog, head honcho, big cheese, the kingfish, perched at the top of the ladder of success. And then with this first man, the whipped cream with the cherry on top of the sundae is this. Adam has a personal relationship with the Lord God. Intimate first name basis with God. God came to walk with Adam in the cool of the evening, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. Intimacy with God. How could anyone want more? Well, obviously, something more is needed, or else the Lord God would not say, not good. You know, when we consider what we think makes for a good life, Adam's got it all. He's got it made. Life O'Reilly. But God says, you know, if something doesn't change here, Adam will not be living a good life. I want you to realize this morning, you can reach the top of the corporate ladder. You can live in the best location on the face of this earth and still be as empty as a Catholic church in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. And yes, you can have a large income, stocks, bonds, real estate, automobiles, RVs, houses on the East and West Coast and the Gulf Coast. Have it all, and still God will say of your situation in life, not good. But wait, I have this really good personal relationship with the Lord. I don't need anybody but God to meet my needs. Well, if you're saying that this morning, what you're saying is true, but you're missing the point. And the point is this. God has created us in such a way as to be dependent on what God has provided to make us complete people. Think about it this way. Our very existence to keep us alive is outsourced. Have you ever thought about that? You can't produce the air you need to breathe, the water you need to stay hydrated, the food you need to be nourished. You can't spin clothes out of thin air. Even your clothes are made from things God has created. We're dependent. From outside ourselves, we need air and food and water and clothing. And according to Genesis 2:18, we need other people. Friends, we are hardwired for close personal relationships with other people. Now turn back to Ecclesiastes 4, because what's going to follow is this. What we have here is a basic idea that since God has created us, He has hardwired us, He has DNA'd us for companionship, we need to enjoy the benefits of having close personal relationships. Now, this passage begins with a statement of fact. Look at verse 9. Two are better than one. Now, I want you to realize, if you're married, if you're happily married, you probably think this statement refers to your marriage. And listen, please hear this. Yes, it does apply to your marriage. Two are better than one. But notice this verse, these verses never once mention marriage. They just mention as a fact, two are better than one. And what follows is four significant benefits that you and I enjoy in our lives. Four benefits when we cultivate close personal relationships. Let's call this relational CPR. CPR, close personal relationships. First benefit is this. CPR, that is close personal relationships, brings us the benefit of productivity. Look at verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Here we have the idea of teamwork. I think of teamwork, I think of something written back in 1776, a book by Adam Smith, a book that launched the Industrial Revolution. The name of the book is entitled The Wealth of Nations. And in this book, Adam Smith offers a fascinating illustration of the value of teamwork. Listen to what he says. This was sort of really caught my attention. He says, quote, there's 18 steps involved in manufacturing a straight pin. I didn't realize that, but I'll take his word for it. 18 steps. One person working along could build 20 pins per day. Now, if one person working along can build 20 pins per day, how many pins could 10 people working together produce? Well, I begin to think, all right, 10 people times 20 pins, that's 200 pins a day. I was wrong. Guess how many? 48,000 pins a day. 48,000 pins produced by 10 people. He gave another example. One horse can pull 4 tons of weight. What can two horses pull together? I thought, well, 8. Guess what? Two horses together can pull 22 tons of weight. Friends, you see, we need the input, the perspective, the output produced by being teamed up with someone else. When we work together, we get a good return for our labor. You've heard this before. There is no I in team. Team is people working together. Step back for a moment and take a look at the big picture of your salvation. Do you realize that the fact, if you're saved this morning, if you claim to be a Christian, your salvation is a team effort by God. The Bible says quite clearly, God the Father chose us for salvation. God the Son comes to earth And he does what is required to bring us salvation. He lives, he dies, he rises from the dead, he ascends into heaven. He actually saves us. It's planned by God, accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after his ascension, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to do something very necessary in your life, to convict you of sin and to draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is teamwork. Teamwork is essential to our salvation. You are saved by a team. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And to have a team, you need people. There is no I in team. It is a team. Productivity. That's the first benefit that comes from having close personal relationships. Notice in the second place, the second benefit is this. CPR, that is close personal relationships, brings the benefit of encouragement. Look now at verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. When we are weak, we need someone to pull us up. There's a word picture here. There's two people walking at night down a dangerous path in the Middle East, a path with no lights, a path full of City of Jackson-sized potholes. And it's not a question of if one of those people is going to fall into the pit or not. They will. When you fall, you need a companion to pull you out of the pit. Friends, the path our life takes is full of potholes. Yes, there is a reason why when you go to camp, you have a buddy system. There's a reason why our Lord Jesus Christ, as he sends the disciples out, he does not send them out as individuals. He sends them out two by two. Please hear this. By ourselves, I don't care how strong you think you are, by ourselves, we are weak people. We will fall into pits. I want to give you a true story. Names have been changed. This actually happened. This man by the name of Barney. He's a regional sales manager for a heavy equipment firm. Most of the time he's gone from home maybe 2 days a month, two or three. But lately he's had to cover for several salespeople who were transferred to another district. So sometimes this man is gone from home 3 or 4 days a week. Now, Barney does not have a close personal relationship with his wife. Actually, this man doesn't have a close relationship with anybody. And so one night, alone in his motel room, he picks up a TV guide and he notices one of the channels on the television provides free access to an assortment of, as they call them, adult movie. Now, this man knows it's wrong to pour that kind of video sewage in his mind. He knows that. He's a Christian. But as wave after wave after wave of temptation beats upon the shore life of his conscience, Barney turns on the channel. He watches one episode and then another and then another. And sooner than he can ever imagine, his life is totaled by the hurricane of pornography. He has fallen into the deep pit of porn. Now, just think what might have happened. If this man had a close personal relationship with his wife, so he could call his wife from his motel room and say, "Honey, I'm really struggling with temptation tonight." You know, one of the saddest sights in the world is someone who is married and still lonely. But yet it happens all the time. And some married people do not encourage each other. There are few burdens tougher to bear than being married to someone and feeling alone. But let's say, still, he's not close enough to his wife to talk. Would it not have been great, my friends, if he had had a friend, a man, who shares his struggles and temptations, those struggles and temptations unique to being a man, a friend he could call for encouragement because he is struggling in that motel room? For this man, Barney, having close personal relationship with someone would have been fantastic preventative medicine. You know, the path that we walk on is long and winding, full of steep curves and potential potholes. God has provided in His providence for you companions, friends to walk down this path with us, encourage us, warn us, watch out, there's a pothole there. And then when we do fall into the pothole, pick us up, put us back on the path. Productivity, encouragement, is a third benefit that comes from having close personal relationships, and that is CPR, close personal relationships, bring us the benefit of support. Support. Look at verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Here's another illustration taken from the dangers of traveling in the Middle East, where people would often spend the night outdoors and they had nothing but a thin traveling blanket to cover them. On a very cold night by yourself in the Middle East, you could freeze to death before the sun even rose. So to survive, you needed someone else under that blanket to trap in your body heat and keep you warm. I've been told by some who've actually visited this place that there's a guardhouse in the old Fort Niagara guardhouse in Upper New York State. And in this guardhouse, you can actually see a bed on which 12 soldiers could sleep together on a freezing night. And the idea is this: when exposed to the elements, when we are vulnerable, a close personal relationship provides us with warmth and support. Another true story, name changed. Her name is Abigail. She is attending a major university here in Mississippi, right here in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Now, Abigail is a freshman. She's grown up in a Christian home. She's attended a Christian academy. She's very active in the church's youth group. She's really an outstanding Christian. But now she's thrown into a whole new ball game. Her new roommate is a Jehovah's Witness. Her dorm mother is a Mormon. And every professor she has in every class manages somehow to find a way to unleash a blistering attack on her faith. Especially when she goes to the ethics and philosophy course. Her professor, this guy's brilliant. He's winsome. He's articulate. He's aggressively agnostic. He speaks with authority. His arguments sound convincing. And day after day, 3 days a week, 2 hours per class, she hears this attack upon attack against the faith and then goes home to her Jehovah's Witness roommate. By the end of the first semester at the university, Abigail is doubting the major teachings of the Christian faith. She's alone. She's isolated. The fire of her faith is smoldering, growing colder and colder. Now think for just a moment how great it would be if Abigail developed close personal relationships with a Christian campus ministry like RUF. And those people would have supported Abigail while her faith was being attacked. And with the Lord's provision of RUF, Abigail could have enjoyed the warmth of being in Christian relationships. Try this sometimes. Next time you're grilling, take out of that pile of white hot charcoal briquettes, pull one of them out. Use tongs, okay? Pull out. But notice what happens. That briquette by itself, separated from the other pile, loses its heat and warmth and grows cold. That is a picture of every Christian in this room who removes themselves from close, personal, Christian relationships. You separate yourself, you will lose your fire. Let me give you a great verse to memorize. Jot this down if you're taking notes. Hebrews 10:25. Listen to what it says. Let us not give up meeting together. And that word there is the word from which we get synagogue. In other words, let us not give up meeting together in a particular place at a particular time, as some are in the habit of doing. It's very easy to develop the habit of not coming to church. It's very easy. It's very easy to develop the habit of not coming to classes and the groups. Continues, but let us encourage one another, and all the more since you see the day approaching. Friends, we are living in a fallen, cold world. And your friends, your close personal relationships, are God's provision for warmth and for encouragement. So, to get more accomplished, to have a helping hand, to get support and warmth, you need close personal relationships. There's one more benefit here, and that's this. CPR, close personal relationships, bring us the benefit of protection. Protection. Look at verse 12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When you're attacked by the enemy, you need protection. I grew up absolutely loving Aesop's fables. One of my favorites is called The Four Oxen and the Lion. It seems there's this lion who lurked around a field where four oxen grazed. And every time the lion tried to attack this group of oxen, they would form a circle, nose to tail. So whenever the lion approached, he'd be met by the sharp horns of the oxen. The oxen, however, began bickering together, arguing like a lot of groups do, and they separated. They went to their own corners of the field. The lion attacked each one of the oxen separately and made a meal of each one of them. The obvious truth, one I heard back in the 70s by a band of theologians named the Brotherhood of Man, is this. United we stand, divided we fall. Notice it says a rope made up of three cords. You know, you have a piece of string that will hold something up. But you weave two together and that's stronger. But you weave three together and a rope made up of three cords is stronger than one of one or two. I go back to Aesop's fable. Our adversary, the devil, walks around like a lion stalking us. The devil knows when you're alone, you are vulnerable to being attacked. Yes, the roaring lion will make you the main course on the Lion's Club menu by yourself. You need protection. God provides protection for you through CPR, close personal relationships. Now, I want to cut to the chase here, in case you're having a problem with this concept. I want you to know this morning, to live for yourself only is idolatry. Idolatry. You know, by God's grace alone, Jesus himself delivers us from our idolatry of self-centered living. You know how he does it? He demonstrates in his life and death that the righteousness that he had, he gives to us. God, Jesus' righteousness has become our own, while the sin that we have has been transferred to Jesus and absorbed by Jesus on the cross. I want you to understand this morning. When you see Jesus on the cross dying for your sin, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing the ultimate act of friendship. The ultimate act. Him giving up his life for you. Jesus, even after he lives and dies for us, in our life, he is the friend who laid down his life. He lifts us up when we fall into the pit. He enables us to persevere and to soldier on through life. This Jesus, he protects our souls. He defends us against the devil. Ultimately, Jesus delivers us from death. And you know what else Jesus has done? That would be enough. But on top of all that, Jesus has providentially put people into our lives, and he says, you need the benefits of close personal relationships. You need this CPR. You may think you're the Lone Ranger, but friends, you need to look around this morning. You look around, you're going to find at least a couple of Tontos that you need. Now, you may be thinking, oh, this is great. I need friends. I need, please send me friends. If you come away from this saying, yeah, I need friends, you're only believing a half truth. Here's the other half. You need to be a friend. I came across this week, this poem, and it goes like this. I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. You don't go to find friends. You need to go out to be a friend. And they'll show up all over the place. Beloved, the time to make friends is before you need friends. Let's pray. Lord, we thank and praise you for creating us in your image to be relational people living in community with each other. Lord, you've told us point blank in your word, it is not good to be alone. Lord, we help us to see our need in your provision for productivity, for encouragement, for support, for protection through close personal relationships. And Lord, we praise and thank you for the gift of our best friend, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who by his life and death shows us how not to be selfish, but how to love others. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here this morning, instead of wondering where our friends are, that you would motivate each one of us and empower each one of us to reach out and to be a friend to others. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.